Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
And you won, what, like $50,000?
I actually won $150,000.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams, and you just had a devastating 4th of July, and I hope you found some time to disassociate and relax for a second. We are coming with a gorgeous episode with the gorgeous Nathan Pearson from the even more gorgeous Secure the Gag Podcast. You know, when you have a pro on the pod, you can tell, and the conversation is stunning. I call this episode the music from the early aughts. That's the secondary title. We do so much singing, so sing along if you can. You know the words. I do want to recognize I pissed some people off last week by talking about Bette Midler and her, dare we say, threatening remarks. Remember her tweet that was like, "You're next, gays," fully threatening us in caps on Twitter.com. I know Bette Midler has always been and always will be an ally, but I received a message from a listener in particular who told me he was never going to listen to this podcast again. He said, quote, "She's been an ally for 50 years and you jump on a bandwagon of misguided goofs? Benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's the COVID fog." Drag me, telling me that my COVID brain made me so dumb that I would doubt our number one ally, Bette. Listen, Girlina, I know that Bette is an ally. I also know she did a dumb tweet, and I really enjoy all of the banter and the messages. So if you want to send me another angry message like that, you, the person who said you're no longer listening, that I kind of have a feeling you couldn't help but come back, or anyone else, message me. I like this. We want to have a dialogue, because I understand what you're saying, but unfortunately, to prove my point even further, she tweeted again twice really problematic shit. I don't want to say what she said because it's actually like pretty bad, but she was being transphobic, even Islamophobic. There's like a picture of the Supreme Court she posted. You can look it up. She just should not have access to her Twitter password. That is my truth, and I'm sticking to it. Speaking of my truth, I need to level with you, and this is actually tough for me to say because I've been avoiding the t-shirt conversation for a while. I did receive the Gay Ass Podcast t-shirt merch example in the mail, and I don't like that it's the color white with the name tag on it. It doesn't look like I want it to look. And I've been delaying the inevitable, which is just doing my due diligence and getting a different style of shirt that's not just plain white. I want some sort of like, I don't know, design. My friends that are so trendy and cool have like a tie-dye moment that I might steal that idea. But I'm in the designing phase again, and it's going to be up this month. I promise you that, because it's just too cute not to. So thank you for your patience. I will post a picture of the white shirt with the logo just because it gives you an idea of how cute the name tag will look. But I just wanted to be honest with my truth and where we stand with that merch. We're going to get into this episode of Nathan Pearson's That's a Gay Ass Podcast. You must stick around for the end where he talks about devastating celeb encounters. I also tell of one through my husband, or of someone that was not nice in person. Really good stuff. Also, you heard on that teaser about Nathan's $150,000 money win from a game show on television. Just a great episode. Follow along at Gay Ass Podcast. You know, I'm at Eric Wills, and I hope you're taking a second just to take care of yourself. I love you so much, and thanks for being here. Nathan Pearson, can I tell you why I'm nervous for this interview?
Why?
Because it's the first time I've recorded this podcast wearing a tank top.
Oh my God. That is major. I mean, I was a little nervous because I put on a hoodie and it's summer, but I was like, I'm just going to go for it. This Target hoodie.
Why does today feel like a hoodie day for you?
Oh my gosh. It's just, I feel like this weekend was like whiplash, and then it being like the 4th of July and like seeing the differences online between people who are like going out and having a great party, like Whitney Rose from Real Housewives.
Was she having, I didn't see her social. Was she just living her best life?
Full on red, white, and blue rager. And then like everyone else just, you know, saying fuck America and just being in solidarity. And then everything happening in Highland Park. And it's just it's just been terrible.
It's been a roller coaster of mostly just like from devastation to like less devastation. Like that's where the roller coaster goes. But you're right. When you see the red, white, and bluesies on the interwebs, you say to yourself, is this okay?
Yeah, and it's not.
It's not, and I actually felt like insecure. Even I wore blue shorts on the 4th with this red tank top, and I was like, is this too American?
No. It's subtle. Well, was it on purpose?
I mean, like, what was the correct...
It was a nod
to America.
Nod, casual.
I was giving a slight nod to this country. I mean, I don't know. It was half on purpose and half just like, it was the only tank top that looks good on me. Am I canceled?
No, not at all.
Every party, and by every, I went to two different gatherings for the 4th, and both of those, no one wanted to say happy 4th.
Yeah. Tommy Doe, who I know, we both know, posted the funniest video.
I loved that video so much.
People not coming to the 4th of July's party, which I loved.
And he had like 50 Domino's pizzas show up. Oh, devastating. Do you know what's actually devastating about that video is that I had a birthday party clap. It's like very Carrie. I know, you already know where it's going. It's very Carrie Bradshaw when no one goes to meets her at the restaurant for her birthday. I invited like, we'll say 12. We'll say 13 people to an apartment gathering, which is my jam. God, do I love...
I truly thought you were going to say like your like 12th birthday party, but this was like as an adult.
No, like 29, babe. Okay, and so I was, living as a fully adult male and in New York City. You know what? You just love when people just like crowd around a coffee table. Like that was what I was searching for that night. Matt was going to make a gorgeous bean dip. We'd maybe have an edible, have some cookies. And just circumstantially, a la Carrie Bradshaw, 4 people showed up.
You know, what was the timing? Where was it a long weekend? These things.
What
happen.
If I was?
These
you're happen. Right. Actually, contextually, there must have been something else
going
on because
going on.
Or do you think that, like, true to my worst fear, no one likes me?
That's not true. That's absolutely not true.
Nathan, I'm so grateful that you are saying that. I do want to say that you have a video. Well, first of all, can I congratulate you on hosting Secure the Gag? You are so good. The podcast is so good. Your guests are so good. And I feel like, am I allowed to say that we are sort of podcast sisters?
We are. I would say we're sisters. Yeah. We're two queers out here in the podcast game. Yeah, for sure.
So now that I've complimented you, I do want to now, cancel you.
Oh my God.
You made a video that is titled POV Every Podcast Video, and it's just every podcast promo video, and it's basically an attack on me personally. What do you have against me and my family?
Okay, here's the thing. Yes, Reed Pope and I, my friend and collaborator and my client, I'm their manager. They're my manager. It's a whole thing.
Manager soup.
Yeah, we did make a video calling out people who make podcast videos, mostly from, it was inspired by, and I've made these videos. I've made these videos too, of course, for promo. But we're in another pandemic, which is on TikTok podcast videos, particularly of straight people, because they have their whole setups. Like it's like a fancy living room, and they like have mics and like couches and like snacks. I could never.
Who the fuck is doing the production on these videos? That's what I want to know. Like, is Scorsese now doing podcast promo?
Yes, essentially yes. And in these videos, Reed and I just were lull so hard, specifically at those videos, because it would just be like the most hooky, clickbaity type of phrase. Like, last weekend I saw 50 dicks, and they're like, 50 dicks. And then it's just like, and they're all like non sequitur nonsense, but then they go super, super viral. And it's like, it was just really funny.
In a way, though, you saying this makes me feel like you need to, like, write this down and then give me the answer to how I can just do viral video after viral video for podcast promo. Give me an example of a hook that you think that we'll do for this episode that will go viral.
Sure.
In the video.
Sure. Yeah, I blew my hand off with a firework.
Firework?
Firework this past weekend. This is bad. I feel like this is not okay for, like, people who actually blow a hand. Okay, I'm backpedaling.
Workshopping.
So there I was, at $3 bill, and two guys came up to me and they said, "Now in the stall." And I said, "What?" They said, "Now in the stall." I go to the stall with them. They take me into the big stall, the one that's the last of the row, right? Their friend is stuck in the toilet. They thought I was a paramedic. Because I was wearing black and white. And red. Red Wait, crosses.
Oh my God. Are you a paramedic?
No. That was my clickbaity story for you.
No, I know, but I'm asking. I'm asking now. So did they still fuck you?
Yes, and then we fucked.
Wait, that is 100% going to be our viral clip. I can't
great,
wait.
Great.
And then you're going to get a lot of DMs being like, "How dare you talk against the paramedic community?"
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was really well done.
And I'll do it again. I'll talk against them again. I will.
Yeah, well, paramedics, I can't say what they did to my dad, but it wasn't good.
Oh, no. I read about that.
Remember what they called him?
Fag.
Wait, you weren't supposed to say it, but
oh, I'm sorry.
I guess no, it's okay. The paramedics, I think the non-compete has expired.
Okay, good.
I was trying to think of the word for instead of non-compete, it's
NDA. Oh no.
Keep going. Instead of NDA, instead of non-compete, it's when you can't get close to someone.
The restraining order.
Restraining order.
Yes.
Now this is the podcast called Documents.
Documents. Okay. I love we like go into different legal documents together. I think that's beautiful.
PDF.
Yeah.
Now you go.
MP4.
Okay. Now I'm gonna go. Menu.
Oh shit. Menu.pdf.
Oh, a fucking online document. Okay, here I go. Mm-hmm. Sheet music.
Oh shit. Shit. I think that's that wins.
That's the denouement, babe. So wait, this is so funny that you are a queer girly who hosts a gorgeous podcast from Georgia who also was on the TV show iCarly.
Yeah, that is my journey. That sums it up.
Why don't I know the backstory for that? I want to tell anyone who doesn't know that Nathan posted a gorgeous clip of you. What was the Nickelodeon prompt that got you into that video?
Oh, it was like on TikTok. It was like, tell me you were on Nickelodeon without telling me you were on Nickelodeon.
Yes. And then you go to a clip of fully iCarly and mm-hmm. then like a young Nathan Pearson, just like quick cut to you. You sneeze on the camera. We see the snot hit the actual lens mm-hmm. and then blackout.
Yeah, well, that it cuts to me as a gay adult sneezing again for the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was just feeding into the nostalgia of it all on TikTok.
Are you a child actress?
Yeah. That was my journey.
So tell me everything. Were you doing this from Georgia? Were you going to Los Angeles?
Yeah, so I was doing like theater growing up, and then like, you know, Tommy and Janessa, you know, were getting agents in Atlanta, and I was like, Mom, like, can I do that? And my parents were like, absolutely not. That's insane. Because my parents were not in the arts or industry at all. And then, you know, I started doing like professional theater, and then it seemed like, oh, like maybe Nathan can do this. And so then my parents kind of like were like, okay, we'll give it a try. And then I ended up getting like representation, and then like whirlwind. And it's like, okay, my mom's out with me in pilot season, like in LA, when like pilot season in LA was like a thing for like, I feel like things are like year long now, but like when you would like go out just for like January to like beginning of April.
Right.
And so we did that. And then I booked iCarly, which was like my first thing I booked. And then I wrote like a role on there that was like recurring for a little bit. And then I just like started booking a lot of random things. Not a lot, but like here and there. And then the writer's strike happened in 2007 and everything kind of just went to shit. And it was also a time when people could tell me that like because I'm half Asian. And so they'd be like, you're not Asian enough for this role, or you're not white enough for this role, or you're too effeminate. You know, so it was like, it was when people could just like say that to you, or like, you know, people were like, oh, you look kind of Hispanic, you can go out for like those roles. Like, it was that time of Hollywood.
How old were you when you were hearing this, and like, how did you internalize that?
Yeah, I was like, at that time I was like 12. And so...
What a fucked up age to hear that too. It's not okay at any age, but especially like 12 is, I feel like 12 is tough.
It was tough, but like I was still so young where like I didn't fully process it. I think it did help me with like understanding like rejection early on, because I was really able to just like bounce back from things. So I was like, oh, like it's just like, that's just what it is. So I think that's helped me. I did have like my old manager that I had at the time when I was a kid recently, maybe like over the pandemic, like reached out to me, and like we connected and we like FaceTimed, and it was really weird. And he like apologized to me for like putting me through like some of those kinds of like things.
Wow.
Which was really nice.
That is really nice. I mean, I feel like you don't hear about that often, of people actually owning up to the things that they wish they'd done differently.
Well, he was just like, you know, I'm sorry that there was so much like whatever, like you were obviously such like a queer excited kid, but like, you know, it'd be like, you know, tone it down, faggy. So, that was an interesting time.
So you now, as an adult, does it change your relationship to like the industry at all, having done it as a kid?
Totally. I think that like my goals in the industry and like what I want to do is definitely been shaped by that. I see myself as like, I'm not going to get a role or any type of thing like that traditionally. Like, I feel like I'm gonna be someone who has to create my own opportunities, which I'm like fine with, which still exists today, right? It's like that's, and you know too, like as like, you know, as queers in media, it's like representation is hard and the roles are few. And
I think that's the most, dare I use the word, tenacious way to go about the industry, is like the constant pivot to realizing maybe the things you have to do to make the future you want. And that's exactly how I have felt with like, oh, I'm not going to get a really great agent and then go up for Jonathan Groff's boyfriend in the next thing, and then I'm going to, you know, get my Emmy. I was like, that's not how it's going to go for me. And right. So, like, I think it would be easy to dwell on the devastation of just like, oh, I can't, it's not, I'm not going to have like a natural, easier route, but you just have to like, put what you, like sink your teeth into just like, you know, I'm just gonna make some fucking weird shit, and then I know people are gonna like it, and then hopefully, and it will get me to where I want to go.
I totally agree. I think it's like, it has to be fun. It was like that has to be the point of it. And I feel like they're, yeah, it's everything you said.
Yeah. I do think also, in terms of you in the media, you need to talk about the $100,000 pyramid game show that you start on.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a dream come true. I feel like when you were a kid and they asked you what you want to be when you grew up, I would say a game show host.
Oh.
That was like my
game
dream.
Shows are huge.
Still is my dream, and it will happen one day. But I was such an avid fan of game shows, and like I would watch the Game Show Network and all that kind of stuff. So it was like always a dream of mine to be on a game show. And yeah, I was in like a UCB Facebook group, which for like the Upright Citizens Brigade, and they said that they're looking for contestants, and I was like, okay, like obviously I need to apply. So I, you know, I work like a day job, and so like I went in the phone booth at my like day job, and I just recorded like a video on my phone for submission, and then like whirlwind later, yeah, I was like on the show. But it was like a very robust casting process, because like they like, you had to interview multiple times, and then they did like practice rounds with you. You had to like play the game on like Zoom with people.
Wow.
And then it was a beautiful meeting of like luck and like me being like super prepared and all this random shit for it to happen.
And you happen to do it with like the stars of Pose.
Yeah, it didn't get better than that. Like, we had just like a shorthand. And so,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was incredible.
And you won what, like $50,000?
I actually won $150,000.
Nathan, you need to... So I famously, when I'm in a social situation, I think I'm annoyed that people think money is taboo and it needs to be talked about in the open as he's fully clenching his asshole. I fully think it needs to be talked about. You won 150 grand on this game show, which I think is such a like, you did that for us.
You did that for us.
How much do you take away from 150K? You see Nathan Pearson on television and then you look in your bank account 3 months later when it actually hits, what has hit your account?
Yeah, so they actually gave me a check for the full amount, and then you're in charge of paying the taxes off? And
which is how much do you think? A third of it?
It was like maybe like 40, 45% of it or something.
Okay. So let's say like conservatively, you probably like 80 grand.
Yeah. I was very happy.
I'm so happy for you. I'm genuinely 150% of my being right now is just thrilled to know that you got 80 grand from a TV show.
It truly, but like, it's truly stupid. Like, it's stupid.
Stupid in the best way. There are people that are far less deserving than you. I'm so glad.
I'm not deserving. I just like, when I tell you, I practiced so much, like it became my life. I would watch old episodes on mute and like play along. I had friends FaceTime me and play with me. I would study like every day. And then like you can do all that and then get paired with like two football players two Real Housewives who don't give a fuck about the show and are just there to like have fun. And then I like witnessed, you know, cause I was like in a holding room with all these other contestants and like they're as good as me, but like their partners are bad. And so, but it's like a TV show. So like they don't give a fuck. They're just like, they have fun. I got so lucky that I got two people who like I had a shorthand with who were there to like play the game. Like so much luck happened. Like that's why it's truly stupid. It's stupid. And like, it's stupid.
Well, one of the prompts was you were trying to get, I think it was India Moore to say, weak. And then you said, quote, an old man's arms. She said weak. And I was like, and then I think that's what like catapulted you to like getting a big old dollar amount.
Yeah. So then I played again. So that was like the first round. And that's the round I think I shared on social. And then I played another round. I don't know. It's so weird.
I love it so much. I love it so fucking much. I mean, also I think that game shows too, I can't exactly explain why they're so gay, but like growing up.
Oh, they're gay. Yeah, very gay.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, specifically hosted by Regis Philbin, I was eyes glued, babe.
It's
loved. I mean, there's something just like phoning a friend. Who doesn't love a chat?
I know. It's
who doesn't love the high stakes, the drama, lighting design?
Yeah, it is. It is camp.
Well, also, we were talking about recently The Weakest Link. How queer the way you get sent off a show is a lesbian in glasses going, "You are the weakest link. Goodbye." And then you're fucking escorted off the stage.
I know. I want to be on that show.
You need to be.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what it is? It's our era of like when you get like taken off of a stage with like a hook.
Mm-hmm.
That's The Weakest Link, but like the gay version of it, which is a quippy bitch telling you you're the least smart person on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, listen, I do want to ask you the famous podcast question, Nathan Pearson, which is, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Yeah, so we blame ABBA, but specifically we blame A-Teens.
No one has said A-Teens, Nathan. Okay, wait, so explain the connection.
So my parents are fruity and they love music and like which is music is gay but specifically ABBA. ABBA was like,
wait, are your parents male, female?
Yeah.
But fruity from just their passions. Okay, go on.
And so ABBA was just like a really big thing in my house. Music was a big thing in my house growing up, and so specifically like ABBA, which is like canonically like gay, but like I don't know that. So it's like it just became like one of the soundtracks of my like childhood was just like the ABBA records. So yeah, I grew up on that, and then A-Teens specifically merged together my love of like pop music at that age with ABBA, and so that became truly my obsession, where like I had the albums and like I like would have like the CD booklets like folded out. They like posters in the CD booklets, you know, and
yes.
like I like would have like the creased poster like above my bed of like the 18s, and I wanted to be in the group so bad, and that was what truly made me gay.
I think that is absolutely, because you know what, it takes me back to not only the fandom we had for these groups, but also the love of posters. I mean, posters were big.
I had, but it was like never like a, like, I feel like I would go to Walmart and there'd be like the posters in that like sliding plastic bin. And I never owned one of those official posters.
Never.
It was just the ones from like magazines or like the Britney Spears pamphlet from the album that I would unfold.
Yes. Like the magazine, sometimes you would like take it out and then you could still unfold it. Like it was folded inside the magazine, mm-hmm, and then you would, mm-hmm. And of course the creases on your wall. How devastating is that? But like poster creases are gay.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the funny thing is that 18s was this an 18 song? Wait, now I'm not going to sing it because it's embarrassing.
Sing it.
No, because I think it's... Now I don't know if it's... I promise I know about bands and of that era, but this song might be Spice Girls. But I'm going to sing it for you because you're this is a safe space, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me if this is 18s or Spice Girls or neither.
I'm so scared now. I don't know.
You're embarrassed for me. No. Here we go.
Upside down. 18. Yeah.
Oh, thank 18. God.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Please continue singing. Please continue singing.
No, you needed to. I just needed the confirmation.
Dancing on the ceiling, inside out. Stranger to the ceiling, got no clue. What I should do, I love you. I can't have you. Yeah. So that was their sophomore album. Which was then they branched out to their own pop music, which I loved. But their obviously their freshman album was the covers of all the ABBA songs.
God, 18s, we love them. We love the work they did for us. I do want to tell you in full circle of what I listened to on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. I was in the car. We were driving on our way to a party, and I felt the mood only called for one specific song, which was Avril Lavigne's.
And dancing in the rain, listening in the dark. I thought that you'd be here by now.
I was just like,
is there anyone trying to find me? Will somebody come take me home?
I mean, what? And I think I want to apologize for the sheer gravel. I sound like I screamed all weekend because I did. But that song, and then I followed that song with a poem.
Damn, oh, yeah. Cold night. It's so good. It's so
good. And then I followed that up with it's Hilary Duff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you, it's a Hilary Duff like really sad song about like rain.
Come clean.
Now you sing it.
Let's go back to the beginning. The beginning.
There we go.
Back to the other side of the night.
That's what the day called for. It was this really sad, powerful female pop stars from like what, 2002?
Mm-hmm. That was my jam. And did you like S Club 7?
Of course.
I was obsessed with S Club 7.
People in my school were like S Club 7, 18s, and then that I feel like, oh my God, this is also hearkening back to the era of Stacey Orrico.
Oh my God, who is that?
Okay, so she has this, like, she kind of is a one-hit wonder, but a very, uh-huh. very big one-hit wonder. And she has the song, in parentheses, there's gotta be, out of parentheses, more to life. And the chorus goes,
there's gotta be more to life than chasing a very temporary high to satisfy me.
Do you know this?
I don't know, but I probably do. More.
And the music video is very gay because she's in a different wig every scene.
Oh God, we love it. I love it. Yeah,
but there's a costume change.
I love when all you needed to like, yeah, to like be like a one hit wonder in like the early aughts was like.
A blue wig. Speaking of blue, mm-hmm. dare I say another one-hit wonder, Blue Cantrell.
Oh my God.
Blue Cantrell was...
And Cantrell, that's a mushroom.
Hit him up. Is it?
No, that's Chantrell. I don't know.
Wait, but Blue Chantrell is your drag name.
That's my drag name, yes.
Blue Cantrell has Hit Him Up Style.
Someone was blaming, ding ding bleeming, ding 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 ding
She just keeps saying bleeming. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everything,
God, these are the songs. These are the songs, the soundtrack to my gay childhood.
Yeah.
And coupled with just watching game shows. What other game? It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was a big one. Weakest Link. What are the other ones that you were?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I didn't like love The Price is Right, but I would like watch The Price is Right.
We love, in this family, Matt randomly got into Price is Right. I'm not joking, like 3 months ago.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, so he like was watching like
old Drew, ones? Oh, the new ones.
Drew Carey, which is like very weird to see because they're interesting because I only really watch the Bob Barkers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Drew, I sound like now like a grandmother. Drew does a good job. Drew does fine. Drew does you know, he does. But like, but Bob Barker, there was no one like him.
Yeah. Truly. And
what are your feelings on Steve Harvey's hosting of
I'm obsessed with like his snafus and like the moments of pop culture he's creating for us. I think it's funny. Yes. I don't necessarily feel anything towards him other than thank you for the funnies. I mean, he's doing his job. He's doing his job,
but you don't really care if he lives or dies.
Yeah. I am really into British game shows too right now.
What's a show like currently airing?
Yeah, they are like old ones on YouTube. I just am kind of into like all of those. Like there's a British game show called The Chase. Did you ever watch The Chase? They made a US version of it. They actually made a US version of it that like the writers were like striking on it and stuff, which is really bad, but it's a bad version. But basically what it is like it's a trivia based game show where like you battle like these super, there's like five super smart people and then like you have to like battle them to like answer questions faster than them basically. So it's a chase. But that's like a really great show that I love.
I feel like the Brits oftentimes, and maybe with 4th of July, it's unfortunately topical of like, maybe we should go back to living under the monarchy. I think sometimes the Brits do things.
Some things.
If you were given the option to marry a British man and then be bi-coastal, London and New York, is that anything that sounds good to you?
That sounds great. Obviously, there's a lot of details I need to like work out. But sure, of course. Yeah.
If you had to marry a man from a different country, what country do you choose first?
Honestly, I'm what do I want? A gateway to the world? The EU? Yeah, I would. England sounds great, honestly. But like, I also would love, I'm like a huge fan of Mexico City. So like, if I could have a house there, that would be lovely.
I find like a lot of people are going to Mexico City.
I know.
I've never been.
It's the new Iceland. And so people are going to Mexico City.
Mexico City is yesterday's Iceland.
It is. Yeah, everyone's going there. But you guys should definitely go. It's gorgeous. And
I need to go.
Yeah. Pronto.
Pronto. I just, you know what it is? It's like we are so wanting to travel, but like because we really haven't done any trip like that since before the pandemic, we're like almost like in the indecisive state of like we want our first one or like a big one to be like really big, and then we just like won't.
I mean
have you where was the last place you traveled to internationally?
I was in Tulum a couple weeks ago with my family, but that's not
how
like,
was Tulum.
It was good. It was really nice. I'd never been. And so it was also weird because it was like my first family vacation since I was like 10 years old. So it was like very like it was like 10 of us, like my siblings and their, you know, their husbands and wives and the kids and shit. So it was very like a lot going on.
So I was speaking to someone yesterday about how blessed people are if they have their parents in their lives. And it's like a really beautiful thing in addition to the blessed nature. Also being an adult with parents is something that I don't think you learn about, like, or you hear about. I feel like having an adult relationship with parents is, again, great. And also is something sometimes hard to navigate with, like, your parents are supposed to, quote, know everything or be right on everything when you're a kid. But then as an adult, a lot of times we've learned maybe through our therapy or different things, like, what if our parents are wrong, but we have to tell them that and they don't think they're wrong because they were conditioned their whole parenting lives to be the right ones. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Totally. And I do. But I also like cherish my new adult relationship when it comes to like closeness with like, especially my mom and like how we're able to like connect about things that, you know, we haven't been able to in the past. Or
can your mom, if you call her out on something, can your mom be like, you're right?
No, she's like opinionated in her own right. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what it is. It depends on what it is.
How do you, when you get frustrated with your parents, how does that manifest? Is it something you just like take your breath and you, or do you, is there ever like a back and forth?
I'm someone who leaves the room.
Oh, I'm you're like, leave the room.
I'm not confrontational.
Yeah. Are you currently single or in a relationship?
I am currently single.
So in a relationship, do you find yourself to also be the leave the room when a heated moment comes up?
I think in that scenario, I'm very much I like to communicate everything. Like I like desperately get to a place where I'm like, everything needs to be on the table and like, especially how you're feeling. And I'm like, I can't. Yeah, that's how I operate.
That is me too, Nathan.
But it gives me, yeah. Yeah.
It gets you in trouble. Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Me too. I mean, it's, I learned actually with an ex that because I really wanted to overshare. Like I really wanted to, like when you say put everything on the table, 100%, but sometimes I want to put like everything on the table plus chairs on the table. Like the chairs don't go there. We don't need the chairs on the table. In fact, why don't we forget about the chairs?
What's a chair for you?
A chair for me would be like if something somewhat small happened that frustrated me that actually was just a passing moment that wasn't too deliberate. Like I'll make it specific with my ex. This was over a decade ago, but like we'll say, actually this kind of did happen. I think one time where like, I remember one of her, I don't think he listens to this, but if he does, it's like so mortifying that I'm sharing a fight from a decade ago. But one of the last times we hung out before we officially broke up for the second time, I made him dinner. Oh God, this makes me angry even 10 years later. I made this man dinner. Uh-huh. Granted, I was like 22, not a fucking Michelin star chef, but I'd gone to the grocery store. I got the chicken. I made some pasta. And so I made like a pasta chicken dish, right? I had purchased in my youth, chicken thighs that maybe had a little bit of fat on them. Mm-hmm. And when I cooked the chicken and put the chicken thighs in the pasta, I guess he didn't like that there was any fat in it. Like he didn't like the texture or something. And he, while he was eating the food that I'd made him, and he was also gone. He was like at work. So I made it by myself in his apartment. So I was like feeling like I'm like a little housewife making my men's meals. And then he comes back from his job in a horrible mood. I'm proudly putting the chicken pasta dish on the table. And this man really let it be known that he did not like what I had made.
Was he older or your same age?
Same age.
Okay. Or younger. I just didn't, that wasn't an option in my mind.
I think same.
I love the idea of you being 22 and he's like 40. He like comes home from work and you're just like, what is it?
I'm the child that's just like always trying to get approval from my 40-year-old boyfriend. I mean, honestly, I wish. But no, he just like, he was saying such like mean remarks about what I had made. Like, I guess this isn't necessarily, now this is just me talking about like one of our last fights. It's not necessarily a chair on the table because like I would have said something about that. Like, hey, you're being kind of mean. But it would be maybe like a lesser version of that where just like snide remark. And I'd be like, so when you said that remark, that actually made me feel like, versus like, you know what, Eric, just take a breath and have a sip of your orange juice and move on.
Totally.
You know, that would be my chair on the table.
I hear you. That makes sense. What is it like, not to ask the questions on your own podcast, which I feel like is a disease when you have someone who else has a podcast on the podcast.
A disease.
But I'm like, what is married being like?
Oh, married life? What is married life like?
Yeah, for you, as a gay.
It's actually a really good question because at first I'm like, well, that's kind of a big question. But then I realized like my layered answer is that it started out feeling like, oh my God, in a cool way, I'm like everyone else in like the heteronormative way.
Right.
And then since I moved to LA and I've met, for whatever reason, I've met so many more gay people here than I did in New York. And I don't really know why. It's probably because we're allowing ourselves to put ourselves out there more because of our fresh start. Whereas in New York, we were really in our routine. But I'm meeting so many gay people out here and a lot of gay married people. And now gay married life to me feels like incredibly liberating because we are not subscribing to the heteronormative rules. Like, yeah. I can't really, it's not even just like in a like flirting, hookup, whatever it is way. It's also just like in a, we don't feel as many of the societal pressures as some of the straight couples I know. Like Matt and I do want kids, but I will say, and there's a lot of pressure with that. And also there is a feeling of excitement and newness because we're obviously not going to do it in the same way our straight friends do.
Right.
It's both devastatingly difficult and expensive and also exciting because of, I think we're going to also, I think same-sex parents probably parent in a different way that's better. I'm going to fucking say it, Nathan. Better.
Yeah.
Because we are able to take the best of the things that work and then take away the shit that doesn't work and then make it better.
Yeah.
Will I be canceled for saying that same-sex parents are better than straight parents?
Maybe by like the Family First Foundation or something like that. But I think,
at me, Family First. Yeah.
I think everyone else will agree.
Do you want to be gay married one day?
I think like deep down, yes. But I feel like superficially, no.
Ooh, let's explore that. What's a superficial no?
Oh my God. I don't know. It just feels like the time and like what's going on in my life and my goals and aspirations. It's like, no.
Is it a little of like Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical? I gotta go my own way.
Yeah, very that. What about us? Yeah.
What about everything we've been through?
What about us? Yeah. Very that.
You know, I never wanted to hurt you.
I don't know. My dream actually is, are you a fan of David Sedaris?
Yes.
Okay. So like David Sedaris has a beautiful like cottage in like England and has a husband who just like lives there. And then David Sedaris just goes on like book tours and like spends time in like the States and then like goes back to his cottage and like England. And like, I think I want that.
Done. Oh my God. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be bored in my cottage, but right now it sounds great.
Yeah. But I also would need that the person that I'm with to be like happy in the cottage, you know?
100%. My cottage is LA right now, and I was worried that Matt would not be happy in the cottage because I forced Matt to move here, and he's...
No, I did really.
Yesterday, he was under the influence, but also just like he was more speaking his truth, like loose-lipped, and he was like, I love LA. And I was like...
I hear that's what happens. People love it.
It just like, we just like, yeah, we were talking about what I was just saying actually is about like how we're putting ourselves out here more in a way. And like, we were trying to analyze if we were putting ourselves out there in New York, what would the difference be? And none of it actually matters. It's just interesting of like creating the life. Sometimes it's easy to think that you're stuck in the life that you've made for yourself. And I wish I had known in New York a little more when I was there that I was able to break out of the rut that I had become accustomed to.
Okay, that's good advice.
Well, it's just so difficult. That's so much easier said than done. Do you know? It's like I needed to literally change my entire surroundings and coast of the country to give myself the allowance to do that. But I think that in smaller ways, anyone can do that wherever they are.
Yeah, I don't think about that when I think about people moving to LA. I think it's more like, it's like, oh, it's like industry, it's opportunity. Yeah. It's like, I need like blah, 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 blah. But like the self like healing and allowing yourself to do that and open up or like explore is like also really nice to hear.
I do, speaking of this podcast, I need to ask you another famous podcast question.
Sure.
If the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Yes. So in the vein of someone who lives in Europe and comes to the States to do their work, my person also does this, but their home is in Scotland. And
Wait. You need to keep playing this game. Don't tell me who it is yet. Keep giving details.
Yeah. They live on a beautiful cliff. Their husband lives there. They have a bunch of dogs. I think their daughter, I don't think she lives there anymore, but she comes to the States and does her work. Does her films and transforms in every role she does. And
wait, maybe this is someone that's like, I just don't know, lives in Scotland.
And then, but I'm sure she has homes everywhere. But yeah, that's like her like thing. And then she like goes back to her like Scottish cliff and like lives a beautiful life. Her beautiful, tall, towering life. Is it
Emma Thompson?
No, but I, side note, I just watched that movie where she gets with the hooker. It's really good. on Hulu.
I didn't watch it yet, but I saw the posters, and I mean, seeing an old woman get railed is okay. Wait, I don't mean old woman. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I get it. yes, but I'm a huge fan.
Is it Kate Winslet?
No.
You said tall. You said a tall thing.
Yeah. You're on like the right track. Kind of. Academy Award winning.
Okay. I got it. It's Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
I promise you that the name was on the edge of my lips. I just couldn't think of, because I was like, her face, because like she is an alien.
Yeah, she's an alien. Has she been named before?
I actually don't know if she's been the number one character actress. That there might have been one or two guests that have said Tilda in, because I have talked about Carrie O'Donnell's Twitter account that like it was like not Tilda Swinton that had such funny unhinged tweets that you know, like, so,
I'm unoriginal and stupid.
Not at all. stupid. No, Tilda Swinton is such a good answer, and I think it makes sense that she would live in Scotland and then just like do her film work and then go back to the Rolling Hills.
Yes, I love her dearly. I held a door open for her one time at a screening of the movie Okja that she was in, which was like the Netflix movie.
How was the door holding experience for you?
It was really great.
How many stars?
5 out of 5. Wow. We like made eye contact, and she's just gorgeous. And it was really beautiful and fulfilling.
I can only imagine it would be. I think Tilda Swinton is such a good answer, but I'm going to put you on the spot with a follow-up question.
Sure.
Do you feel comfortable saying a celebrity encounter you had, door-holding or otherwise, that was not 5 stars?
Let me think.
While you're thinking of one, can I tell you one that...
Please.
So Matt worked at a restaurant for a long time, fancy restaurant. And I feel comfortable... The restaurant was Gotham. It's in New York City.
Oh, I don't know.
On like University and 12th Street. Mm-hmm. And I feel comfortable saying this because she is so removed from my world. He unfortunately did not have a positive experience with Joanna Gaines from HGTV.
Like Chip and Joanna?
Chip and Joanna. Joanna was apparently Matt. Like Matt loves, he's a design gay, loves watching those shows. Mm-hmm. And he... is also an introvert that doesn't normally bother these types of people. Mm-hmm. And he went out of his fucking way to tell her how much she means to him.
Yeah.
I start doing the cry. Like, and she apparently like gave him like a face that was like, oh, you do? And what she said was, thank you. Like, very just like,
oh, yeah. You do?
And then, like, metaphorically, emotionally stepped on the glass and the mud spattered all over Matt's face and she went to her table.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately, like, I relate to Matt, and that I also, if I see someone, I would, like, I'll be like, let me go up and say hi, because, like, why not?
Yeah.
But I know that's, like, annoying, but...
Well, there's always a good way to do it, but go on.
Yeah, but there was no good way for me to do this. And it wasn't a negative experience. It was more just like okay. I went to go see Mean Girls on Broadway, original Broadway cast.
Love.
It was my first time seeing it, because I have seen it twice. And I am waiting to check in and whatever. And then someone gets to skip the line. And it's Bernadette Peters. And so Bernadette skips the line, looks like goes right in, and I go, and I went go by myself, because like go to musicals by myself, and I go, did you see that? Like looking around my corner, like it's Bernadette, like trying to find some gay to relate with.
A single gay person, yeah.
No one. It's just like, you know, it's a bachelorette party behind me. No idea. I go to my seat, I'm like in orchestra left, brag, and I look like over orchestra center, like up 3 rows, and like Bernadette is over there with like these 2 old gals. And I'm like, oh God. I'm like freaking out. Intermission hits. I get bold. I go over there and I just go.
You get out of your seat and you go over during intermission.
I just go, Miss Peters, I just have to tell you, like, you are an icon. I like, thank you. Just thank you so much. Like, but like, and like, I regret it now, because it's like, what is that doing for her? Nothing. It's just for me, just so I can like say like I talked at her, and like she just goes, she's like, oh, thanks, doll. And like her 2 old friends are like scowling at me, and so it wasn't like it was met with like, oh my God, like you hope that in your, like, you know, psychotic brain, you're like, oh, like, I hope that, like, you hope that person's like, wow, you saying that to me?
I don't know. Day. So I feel like
she was just like, okay, thanks.
Thanks, good. Doll. Okay. Okay. I, you know what? The way you're saying it is you're showing beautiful humility, but I think that, actually, I never aspire to be that much of an icon that when, like, a sweet, beautiful gay man comes skinny. Up to me, skinny, comes up to me at the intermission of a movie Broadway adaptation of Tina Fey's Mean Girls. Mm-hmm. If someone says thank you for the work that I've done, I would hope, you know what? I bet you the two dolls that I'm with would scowl just because, like, I'm sure friends of icons are annoyed by getting stopped. But I think that the person themselves should, like, be able to at least phone in a genuine response.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I would. And I don't think you were doing it. It sounds like you weren't being. It would be selfish if you were, like, shoving a fucking phone in her face in a camera and, like, like, but just to, like, my example to that I've probably said before is so less of an important icon, but an icon in her own right, which is Stassi Schroeder from Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. And the glare this woman gave me.
She didn't say anything. She just glared.
Oh, yeah. And I asked her, like, twice because other people were, like, getting pictures with her. So, like, it was like I wasn't just, like, the only faggot on the corner. It was like, there was only all these other women, but, like, I've never been glared at like that before or since. That was more of a dagger.
Yeah, no, I'm more like I want to talk to people who I like and, like, not get a picture or anything, and then take sneaky pictures of people who I don't like who are famous.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Can you say one that you don't like?
Not necessarily that I, like, don't like, but I was having lunch at Poppy's in Carroll Gardens. I don't know if you ever made your way there. Were you living in Manhattan when you were here?
I lived in Brooklyn for 3 years, like around Prospect Heights, Crown Heights.
Okay, you're grounded. You're humble.
I'm humble. My street was really not cute and quite industrial. And then I'm not as humble because... Actually, no, I am just as humble, just, like, more annoyingly humble because then I lived in Astoria.
Yeah. Okay, you're down to earth.
So go on. You're at Poppy.
I'm at Poppy's, and it's Eben from Girls, and now this new show called The Bear on Hulu. That's really good.
Oh yeah.
Marnie's boyfriend is eating with Peter Sarsgaard or Sarsgaard.
We don't like Peter Sarsgaard.
Well, I was like, whatever. But I was like, like sitting with my phone, like tapping it, like over and over, trying to get pictures. Yeah.
I do see that. I'm sure I know I've taken pictures of a celebrity in that way. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
Wow, Nathan, I can't, like, literally, it's been an hour, and how did that happen?
Oh my god.
Before we sign off, I do want to ask you a question that you were not prepped for, which is, Nathan Pearson, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Oh my god, I want to think of, like, a B film. Oh my god, Rat Race.
You were looking for a B film and you found it, Bibes. You found it, Bibes. I think Rat Race is such a good answer. Rat Race.
So bad.
With the most famous line of all cinema, which is, "I'm prairie dogging,"
which is so gross.
So gross. Nathan, where can people follow you?
Follow me at Nathan K. Pearson. Follow me at Secure the Gag.
And listen to Secure the Gag, the incredible podcast under the umbrella of the stunning Atlanta-based Wussy Mag.
Thank you. And Eric is going to be on an upcoming episode. So look out.
What a dream. Look out, Bipes. Thanks for listening to this stunning Nathan Pearson from Secure the Gag. I cannot wait to be on that podcast myself. But speaking of being on the podcast sphere, do me a favor and subscribe or follow That's a Gay Ass Podcast if you are not. These podcast platforms are pushing out different podcasts based on how many people subscribe and, like, really, what's the word? Engage with them. So please be unlike Meredith Marks and engage with that subscribe button. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being queer. And if you're not, call me. I think I can change that.
Class is now in session. And the UPS store is here to help you ace arriving on campus. Our certified packing experts can pack everything you need, from desktops to decor. Plus, when you pack and ship with us, you get our exclusive pack and ship guarantee. Your items arrive safe or your money back. Restrictions and limitations apply. To get a 20% off packing coupon and for full details, visit theupsstore.com/packing.